Yeah.
Welcome back, or welcome, actually, to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati, representing Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Good. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America.
You say that so casually.
Well, yes. It is a casual thing. I'm coming to you in bunker vision from Wyoming.
Bunker. Yeah, okay. Fair enough, man. How you doing?
I'm good, and it's fall, and fall starts tomorrow, but it really feels like fall here, which is nice. We've had a really hot, horrid summer, and people.
Can you say that on the radio?
Hot, horrid summer. Not on right wing stations.
Can you say that on the? Should you say that on
right wing stations?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not convinced that it's human caused. I'm also not convinced that it's not. Because the science has so many dollars in each direction trying to prove points, and that's not science. It's hard to get clear science on this.
Yeah, I find that too. I find that with vaccines even.
Yeah.
We've got a kid coming up, and it's hard to know what's right and what's wrong. And my wife does a lot of research on it, so I'm kind of deferring to her because she just reads so much more about it than me. We were questioning the stuff, and she was talking to her mom, and her mom was like, how can you question it? It's science. And I don't know if she was saying it that, glibly, but I thought the point of science was to question.
Yeah. Well, a lot of science costs a lot. Maybe we should talk about the concept of big science at some point. And we could have people call in the second half hour. We're going to be giving out the call in number and people could call in on the Freedom Fiends. We like to start without calls and, just kind of get to talk to each other a little bit. Neem and I both have very, very full lives and don't always get to talk much during the week. But yep, we're here and it's good.
We've got another good call in topic too, also related to kids, i.e., we've got a little baby on the way, a little girl. We're going to name her Lillian, we think. And, I like to keep my weapons of family protection by my bed, or I guess I should say my tools of family protection. And, the concern is, a little baby could get in there and not know what it is. You're supposed to gun-proof your kids. That's what Boston says. That's what Masada Yub says. But, a toddler, a one-year-old, two-year-old, they might not be yet mature enough to grasp those kinds of concepts.
Yeah, before – you can't really gun-proof them until they can talk. In complete sentences, probably.
Right. So the goal now is to find some kind of solution to where the tool of family protection would be at the ready, at my disposal, and not much of a barrier to it in the case of some kind of need for it, and yet still be protected enough to where it can't be accessed easily by a crawling little girl.
Yeah, and I think that we weren't clear on the Wednesday show when we asked for to fiend source this, to have fiends call in the Freedom Fiends or email in the Freedom Fiends or post on the site and give gun safe suggestions. You put the question out there. It's our fault. We didn't say it clearly enough. I think you're looking for something that is like this bigger, not much bigger than a bread box that you put your hand on or punch in four numbers quickly. That doesn't cost, as much as a car. People were suggesting man-sized safes that, and things that were like hiding safes in walls. Like that wasn't your goal. Your goal was a box on the bedstand, if I'm reading you correctly, to keep a little kid out of a gun, right?
That's the goal, but I am open to lateral thinking. And if there's another solution that solves those problems, I'd be into looking into it. But where we're at now is we don't want something that's electronic because the batteries can go out. And then what's the point of having – that's like having a brick by your bed then instead of a tool for family protection.
A brick that you're hitting with a hammer when someone's coming into your house.
Right,
and you just
have
to end up using the hammer to defend yourself.
Right. Yeah. And somebody said something about EMPs, and that's another reason. issues and you don't want to have. I don't know if
the government could take your guns by requiring that everybody has their gun in an electronic gun safe that's approved by the government and then blasting an EMP to keep us from getting to our guns. Of course, then, because the market exists, a market would exist. A black market would be created of people who drive around on their horses because cars don't work, going door to door saying, bring out your gun boxes. And for an ounce of silver, they'll get it open for you.
There you go. Or just handing out new guns. It could be the freedom airdrop, freedom horse drop,
the freedom,
gun stamps.
The printable gun drop.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The great printable gun drop of the Rocky Mountains of 2014 or 2016 when Hillary becomes president and just outlaws everything. You know, and that's going to happen. And here's why.
Her or Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
Aren't people sick enough of the Clintons and the Bushes? I guess not.
Yeah. And there are people who will vote for Jeb Bush because at least he's not Hillary. But is he really any different? I don't think so, man. And here's the reason why. The Republicans have blown it. And you and I are registered Republicans. We were involved in that a few years ago. Basically, the fact that the Republicans kept Ron Paul out is why the Republicans are going to fail. Do you want to expand on that a little bit? Put on your minarchist hat and expand on that a little bit?
Well, it's funny because a lot of the Republican establishment was talking about how do we get the youth vote? How do we get the kind of internet following that somebody like a Ron Paul has? And it's not about marketing, really. It's not about even Ron Paul's person. It's about the ideas and the concepts of liberty. And the Republican establishment doesn't seem to be at all willing to budge on those kinds of things. They still want the permanent warfare and corporatist state. And so without compromising – and it's not even about compromise, because that's the thing, is the people who are Ron Paulians, the people who are liberty-oriented, they don't buy that, well, we can have a little bit of freedom. You know, they recognize, as Ron Paul says, as we said, that freedom's one thing. It's not divided into little tiny bits of goodies that the government can give you.
Yeah.
You're either free or you're not. It's a binary proposition.
And I talked last week when Ben Stone was on subbing for you. Oh, how was the FEMA camp when you went golfing with Obama, I heard, in the Bahamas, and he didn't like something you said, and you got put in the FEMA camp. And I heard they wouldn't let you out till you signed the social contract. How did you get out?
Well, I got really sick of the taste of Ensure, especially going
through my nose.
They're
waterboarding you with Ensure.
Yeah. And so I decided, well, I'll just sign it, and it won't hold up in any kind of court because it was signed under duress.
Well,
so
isn't that how the social contract's always signed?
Yeah, yeah, and that's why it's illegitimate. So I figured, hey, if I can get out of here and stop having vanilla-flavored goo shoved down my throat or up my nose, I'll be okay.
Yeah, so we were talking last week in your absentia about the anarchist roots of the Republican Party. Now, we want to touch on something quickly because somebody tried to correct us and they were correct. But then we want to get into talking about Grover Norquist because he's a hoot. And he drove a lot of the Tea Party, you know, we will not raise no new taxes and this time we mean it, crossing their fingers behind their back. I just want to say we do need a C-sharp programmer. There is a new archive link on the Freedom Fiend site, which is much more better organized than it was. And we are having a button special, 2-for-1, 2 button packs of 5 each. So it's 10 buttons, Fiends buttons, different five different designs for $6 postpaid within the U.S. through October 31st. So it's our Fiend-o-ween or Halloween button special.
Yes, and they are great. I brought some in to the guys at work the other day, and they got such a kick out of them. One of them's brother is like a cop or a state constable or something, and he was like he immediately saw the state speech's hate speech, and he's like, oh, I got to take a picture of this and send it to my brother.
He should give it to his brother.
He should. Yeah. The buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep is also a big hit.
Yeah. Which is a reference to the fact that the Constitution of the United States is written on vellum, which is sheepskin. And we have some issues with the Constitution. And before you want to tar and feather us, they are well founded. It's basically, if you read the thing, it allows the government to do anything they want in the first paragraph, you know. It also is a contract that you are beholden to that you didn't sign. Now, we like the Bill of Rights. We like understanding it because it's the only possible thing that might work in an American court of law if you do something that's not – that shouldn't be a crime, you know, like everything now. Everything.
But the Bill of Rights was a concession to the people who wrote the Constitution.
Yeah.
they added that on as, okay, fine, you can have some rights to the people who were upset about the government that the Constitution created. And if the Constitution was supposed to set up a limited government, think about what it was a reaction to. It was a reaction to the Articles of Confederation, which were what? More limited than the Constitution. So the Constitution was written to make a bigger government than they had at the time.
Yep. Yep. And so jumping from then to now, oh, and everyone that said, okay, we'll put those concessions in and give you a little bit of freedom and put it in writing, they all crossed their fingers while they did it. Like George Washington violated the rights of the people within a couple of years, you know, with the Whiskey Rebellion. So jumping forward to the Republicans and the anarchist roots of the Republican Party. And this is all based on Harry Reid recently saying, the anarchists have taken over the pantry. They've taken over the house. They won't pass our bills. He's basically saying that Congress is full of people who hate the government, who hate any government, hate things getting done. And it's like the things that he's trying to get done aren't legitimate. And of course, people are going to hate them. But we don't think that those politicians go far enough. We think that they are statist while they're claiming to be basically anarchist. Now, let's jump to this one thing of the definition of anarchist or an etymology of the word anarchist.
Right. So Ben Stone has brought up the proposition that anarchy doesn't mean anti-rulers, but means animated, like self-ruling. But it looks like that's not 100% correct.
It's not at all correct. That's his. And I think he just didn't explain clearly that was his definition of it. He wasn't really giving a history lesson.
Well, here's the thing is it's a preferable definition for what – we're into. So I liked his reading of the word because that's what I think we should promote rather than it being a negative directive like no government never. It should be a positive directive like self-government. Let's order our own society. Let's order our own business.
Because that comes from child rearing techniques, right?
Right, right. And
are you rearing the children?
Well, just in general, it's better, I think, to give somebody a positive directive. It's more encouraging. And yeah, I first came across it from James Davis, who I interviewed, and he mentioned that, you know, you don't tell kids, or at least it's not good to tell kids, don't run and yell at them. You say, walk, please. You know, give them something to work towards rather than telling them a negative directive. And so we'll talk more about how that relates to the liberty movement.
And autarky.
And autarky when we get back from the market.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
I just want to say for the archives here, I'm still recording for a second, that the clicking sounds you're hearing coming in are not going out over the radio. It's a long story, but they're not going out over the radio. Oh, right.
5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe. Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, fiends, welcome back. I am Nima Vidati here in Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the Mountain West. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm hollering.
Holla?
Holla, holla.
Fair enough. So, we wanted to transition into autarkism, which is distinct from autarky with a K. Autarkism with a C-H, A-U-T-A-R-C-H.
Well, it's also autarky. They're spelled different and pronounced the same, which is a problem with this, because we always try to find a name for what we are. And, you know, we don't like the word anarchist. We don't like the word libertarian. They all mean wrong, bad things to people, or don't mean what we're saying. We like, basically what we want is self-rule. We want to be left alone. We think that the Tea Party people kind of got it a quarter right, or 2% right, when they were like signing Grover Norquist's no new taxes. And when Ron Paul got it almost right completely, basically saying like, I'm going to just slash this thing down to the bone. But the word autarky, spelled A-U-T-A-R-C-H-Y, means self-rule. The problem, we like that word. I'd be an autarkist. The only problem is there's another word spelled the same, A-U-T-A-R-K-Y. Now explain what that means.
Apparently that also comes from the Greek, so I don't know how they're related or their specific etymologies. But autarky with a K refers to closed economic systems. So it's the collectivization of the concept of autarky, which is self-rule. But it means self-rule within the borders of a monopolist state.
Like North Korea.
Like, we don't need to trade. It's the true word for isolationist, or the true meaning of what isolationist would mean. I don't think the people who are anti-American foreign policy aggression are really isolationist, because they still want to trade and travel in other countries. They just don't want to bomb them. But autarky with a K would mean something like, well, we got closed borders. We're not going to let people or goods or ideas in. So that's a very opposite system of what we would hope for.
Yeah, that's not good. And people love to use these Orwellian phrases of, you know, saying, well, somebody said that, you know, calling Ron Paul an isolationist is like calling you an isolationist because you don't want to jump in through your neighbor's windows and beat him up in his home.
Right, right. Or calling you a hermit because you don't want to do that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So I think I'm good on this if you want to go on Grover Norquist. He's an interesting cat.
Yeah. Well, you always have a takeoff on his most famous saying. His most famous saying is, I don't want to abolish government. I just want it to be small enough to where I could drown it in a bathtub, or something to that. That's a pretty close paraphrase, I think. Yeah. You always say, I want government to be so small it'll drown itself in the bathtub.
Like, meh, nobody loves me. Yeah. And it is kind of interesting that the pond of Congress is stocked with all these people who the thing is, they're not real Norquistian minarchists. They're not really against big government, because they still want to bomb the Middle East back to the Stone Age. They still want to keep drugs illegal, most of them. I mean, there's a couple exceptions to that, like Justin Amash and Rand Paul. And Rand Paul is not Ron Paul.
No.
I think Justin Amash is more Ron Paul. You know, there's basically two guys in Congress that get it about 5% right, maybe. Justin Amash probably gets it 7 or 8% right. So
yeah, he may be closer than Rand Paul, but neither of them are close enough to Ron Paul, the man himself. And even Ron Paul, the man himself, is still a politician. He's still not close enough to what I'd want to see in a statesman.
In a statesman who just says, okay, I quit. Yeah, there was, exactly. I mean, we talked about the guy who was the speechwriter for Goldwater, who injected all this kind of like anarcho-capitalist speech into the Republican Party. And it got there through Goldwater, through Reagan, through the Tea Party. And, that guy was so small government. He actually, it was somebody else that ran for governor of West Virginia and said that if he won, his first act would be to demand an immediate recount.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. So Grover Norquist, He made big news a bunch of years back, or not that many years back, but he had a pledge, and it was a pledge that everyone in the Tea Party signed. And it was basically a no new taxes pledge. Like, I won't vote yes on anything that raises taxes. And every politician, you know, I mean, going back to like Bush 1 and before, they all say, read my lips, no new taxes, and then pass new taxes. And Obama has done it all over the place. I mean, Obamacare is a tax on people making under a quarter million a year. But all these
people. It's a tax on people who don't buy health insurance.
It's a tax on people who breathe.
Right.
And we'll have more when we come back from the real free market. Freedom Fiends here on GCN.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll show you the difference between leadership and authority and how to eliminate the demand for authority while remaining peaceful and even calm. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. That's badquaker.com.
All right, Freedom Fiends. That's us. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean, the other half of the Fiends.
Hola.
How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Hola. I'm good. I'm happy. Hola. I'm wonderful.
You munching on some challah bread?
Challah bread, yeah. Give out did we give out the call-in number there?
So people
can
holla? We did not. Holla? So yeah, we're looking at the callers to holla because I need advice on what to do about gun safe. A mechanical one, I think you're right. A mechanical gun safe, four or five buttons on the front, built sturdy, reliable, easy to operate, and preferably under $200. Or right about there. If you know of something like that, or you use one, you have one, you've got recommendations, give us a call at 1-855-660-4261. Once again, that number is 1-855-660-4261.
Or call in about anything. And the gun safe that Nima's looking for doesn't have to keep out the NSA or the TSA or the FBI. It has to keep out a baby.
Right.
I mean, basically a strong cardboard box would probably do what you're looking for, but not quite.
Right.
And, you know, they can get into a safe. They got into Adam Kokesh's safe using the jaws of life, and it took 5 hours. But he had a man-size, you know, mega safe.
And that day they were the jaws of tyranny.
Yeah. And it's pretty you really can't make something that no one can get into given enough time and resources.
Yeah.
But
The government has all the resources it can steal.
Yeah. And a baby doesn't have much resources and hopefully not much time alone where it could get into something if it's being properly supervised.
Ideally, there's only going to be a tool for home defense in the safe at night when I'm sleeping. I mean, that's the concept, right?
Because
if it's not there, it's going to be on me and it's going to be with me out and about in my daily businesses.
Because you carry your sidearm and
I keep my Gat intact.
Yes. And we're going to talk about Grover Norquist. Then we're going to talk about how Starbucks is asking people not to open carry. And I have open carried it at Starbucks, and we'll get to that. But Grover Norquist, he's the guy who tried to revitalize the Tea Party by making them be constitutional and make a pledge to it. And they all broke it. They all pledged, and then as soon as they got elected, they all did government spending stuff, you know? And that's how it goes. But Grover Norquist is a very interesting cat. Let's talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, well, the pledge, apparently something like 95% of congressional Republicans signed it. I doubt that many have kept it, and people publicly denounced it even after having signed it. Senator Chambliss of Georgia said, "I care more about my country than I do about a 20-year-old pledge. If we do it his way, then we'll continue in debt, and I just have a disagreement about him with that." So yeah. See, there's so many non sequiturs in political speech. Is you have to accept first the premise that taxes benefit your country in order for that statement to make any kind of sense. And that's a big leap. And there's a lot of conflict on that. And I would say that taxing people is the opposite of doing what's best for them. I mean, how is stealing money from somebody a good thing for them? It's not.
It's not. And we talked a bunch on Wednesday about how the explanation that we call the aggression principle, the new name for the old concept of how basically everything's collected at the barrel of a gun. Every law is enforced because if you don't obey a law, they will come to your house. And if you tell the guy to go away, he'll come back with guys with guns. And if you tell them to go away, they'll put a gun to your head and they'll either shoot you or carry you off into a cage. And somebody sent in a much older explanation of that. It was someone named Helsingin writing in from Sweden, told us that there is an old Norse proverb. Should I try to pronounce this? Nwadlich I Spruckensand and Endach, which means.
It sounds German, not Norse, but fair
which means the law sits on the spear rod's end. We have fans in Minnesota. Tell us if that really is a Nordic proverb. The law sits on a spear rod's end. We got a board up? Right. Is our board up commenting there? He's just singing death clock songs to himself. All right, so Grover Norquist.
Well, hold on. Lysander Spooner. See, when we were talking about anti-war libertarians and liberty people, you were mentioning Robert Lefavre, and maybe he did promote that a lot in modern times, but Lysander Spooner both pointed out something like this and was a northern anti-war, i.e. anti the Civil War, but still an abolitionist. He said some great things about the Constitution, but he also said something about this concept. He said, the fact is that government, like a highwayman, says to a man, quote, your money or your life. And many, if not most, taxes are paid under the compulsion of that threat.
There you go.
So Lysander Spooner had a grasp on the aggression principle as well.
Yeah, what we were looking for and spent the Wednesday non-radio podcast looking for was the first person to say it in that modern way that I described of the progression, the aggression progression, that every newly minted libertarian and OG, which means old guard or original gangsta, OG libertarian says. They all say it. We all say it. Everyone says it the same way over and over and over. We just want to know where it came from. But getting back to Norquist, he's a comedian, which probably explains why he wanted to drown government in a bathtub. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Apparently, there's some comedic fundraiser that I guess – I don't know how it works. Do they go up? Do politicians go up there and just try to give their best stump speech that's hilarious?
That sounds horrible.
Well, hey, what do you think our show is? Our show is making fun of things that they say and laughing at them all day. So I could see how that could be funny.
I don't know. I guess it's just horrible, the thought of people whose job is – lying, you know, taking a pledge and then lying and then directing the government to steal money from you and then using it to kill other people and threaten to kill you. The thought of laughing with something they say, it kind of makes me feel like, dance, slave, dance.
Right.
Yeah, that's
well,
the thought.
The competition was called Washington's Funniest Celebrity, so maybe it was media personalities and stuff too.
Okay.
I mean, the White House press thing they do every year where a comedian basically roasts the president, sometimes those are funny. But you're right. It's not funny when Barack Obama makes jokes about droning the Jonas Brothers.
It was
kind of stuff does make me
sick.
It was
kind of funny when Colbert was roasting Bush and Bush was getting really uncomfortable. I like that.
Yeah. Dick Cheney was having a good old time of it, though. He was laughing his head off.
Yeah. There's a celebrity antelope shoot coming up that features the governor of Wyoming, the guy that we know that we helped get elected by accident, who ran as a I will protect your guns, and then as soon as he was elected, kind of forgot about that. His shooting partner on this thing is Hickenlooper, the gun-grabbing governor of Colorado.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then,
I did not know that.
There's a rumor. I don't know if this is a joke or not, but there's a rumor that Dick Cheney is going to be with them. And the joke is, are the two governors going to be wearing bulletproof vests? because Cheney shot a lawyer in the face, and then the lawyer apologized about it. That's what happened, but that's a shortening of the story. Everyone knows one. So
Hickenlooper will shoot a gun. So he's down for having
cameras
guns.
Rolling. If there's cameras,
he just
rolling.
Doesn't want you to have a gun.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess he would say, well, you know what they call that shooting thing? They call it the one shot antelope shoot.
Yeah.
So the concept is you only get one shot of antelope. So he'll probably say, see, you don't need high capacity magazines. You just need one shot.
There you go. Yep. So we were talking about this guy, Grover Norquist, who's a conservative libertarian Republican who kind of brought a lot of the I hate the federal government speech back into people who are in the federal government, you know, the Tea Party congressmen.
Yeah, I just don't understand why they can't stick to it. I mean, in the end, they all seem to fold, and it's like Lysander Spooner said about the Constitution. It's either failed to prevent the government or
it directly set it up. Yeah.
Right. And so I guess I kind of feel the same way about Congress, especially the congressional Republicans or Tea Party types that talk all day about reducing the government. But either they're failing to prevent it from getting bigger and more tyrannical, or they're in some way enabling it. Either way, there's no good in placing any faith in that kind of rhetoric or that kind of solution to the problem of a giant government.
Norquist sure has a pretty mouth. He sure has a good way with words. He said that Tea Party groups should serve as the exoskeleton that protects newly elected Republicans from pressures to increase government spending. Well, apparently that exoskeleton for the newly minted Republican congressman is soft and squishy and not formed fully. He's not giving them enough calcium chews or something because
it's a wet poncho.
It's a wet poncho. Yeah, it's a wet blanket. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's something interesting, too. I guess this is a personal life thing, but it kind of makes me like him a little bit more because at least, you know, he's not one of those Islamophobes. But although he describes himself as a boring white bread Methodist, in 2004, age 48, he married a Palestinian Muslim, not just any Muslim, but a Palestinian Muslim named Sama al-Rayes, who was a Kuwaiti PR specialist and formerly the director of the Islamic Free Market Institute. Now, that brings us to an important point, too, is that a lot of people try to paint Islam as all being this Sharia thing, very restrictive. But there's a strain, just like there's a strain of all sorts of different theologies and ideologies. There's different strains and different ideas that conglomerate into them. We have talked to Will Coley before, who basically says there's a strong tradition of sound money and free market justice system, i.e. not having a monopoly justice system in the Islamic tradition. And he advocates, him and Davi Barkler, they have the Muslims for Liberty organization. So it's not a good idea to lump one group of people. It's another disproof of the concept of collectivization, I think.
Yeah, there's good people everywhere and all governments are bad. And anytime people have an attitude of like, all those people in that country are bad, they're just wrong, because most of those people in that country just want to, you know, work and have a good life, for better life for their children than they have. That is a universal desire throughout the world for 99-something% of the people. And the thing that makes things bad is the governments. You know, you think, I mean, people in North Korea are brainwashed from birth to love the government, but if you bring them to a Western country, within a little while, they're like wearing blue jeans and blogging about how bad it was back in North Korea, man. There's good people everywhere.
Right. Yeah, there really is. And in places where, I mean, you might make the counter argument, well, what about that Italian journalist who was imprisoned in Syria and he said that even the old ladies and kids were mean to him and threw things at him and yelled at him? Well, that's a country that has been destroyed by government intervention from multiple governments. And we'll have more on that when we get back from the market.
Yeah.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends live. Thanks for sticking with us. We're at the bottom of hour one. Please join us as well. We have a second hour of Radio Feeny goodness. Yes. How are you doing, Mr. Dean? I'm Nima Vidotti, by the way.
I'm good. I went shooting yesterday for the first time in many months. It was
nice.
It was cool enough to go shooting here in Wyoming, and it was really nice. We went by myself, went in the afternoon. There was no one else out there. Went out in the sticks on the state land with my AK-47. Every good American should own an AK-47. They are, Russia didn't do a lot of things right, but they did, guns right. They did rifles right. And, those rifles, you can run over them with a tank and throw them in the mud and then clean them out with a shoestring and some motor oil, and they still fire, and the ammo's cheap for now. You should buy a lot of ammo because, Obama gonna take away your ammo because he can't take away your guns yet.
What's funny, because whenever there's one of these horrible events, these mass shootings, people always try to politicize it and talk about, well, we need to ban AR-15s and this and that. There's so many other guns that are so much better, I think, than the AR-15. They just have it in their head that there's like three types of guns. There's AKs, ARs, and Glocks.
Well, there's that picture, that journalist's guide to firearms that has 20 guns on it, everything from like a blunderbuss to an AK-47, and they all say AR-15 or AK-47 or Glock. Right. And like, there's even like a car in there and it says Glock, which just shows how stupid people who write about banning guns and why guns should be banned are. And there's always that thing of the politician who said that she wanted to ban the barrel shroud, and they said, "What's a barrel shroud?" And she said, and she wrote the bill allegedly, and she said, it's the shoulder thing that goes up." I think that was Claire McCaskill. Yeah, and we made fun of that in our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which you can get or watch free at gunsandweed.com. We don't smoke weed, but we think it should be legal because, you know, Outlawing it is wrong, and it having it legal doesn't hurt anybody, and outlawing it bans your guns too, man, because those people kicking indoors, they're just practicing for the gun confiscations when they're practicing kicking indoors for weed. Go on,
right,
Nima.
Right. Well, I was going to say that's a good point. You know, we don't smoke herb, but we are down for your right to do it because that's your body. Those are your lungs. Same thing with guns, in that the lady didn't know what the barrel shroud was. She still wanted to ban it. So her default for not knowing about something was, well, if I don't know about it, it should be banned. Yeah. That's not how it works. If you don't know about it.
If that were true throughout history, mankind would be living in ditches pushing berries up his nose for sustenance. Seriously, man, that is like innovation crushing kind of ideology. So now some good things. Gun safes. We got a message from Dan from Sun City, California, from RadioFreeMind.com. We're going to read what he wrote about gun safes.
Yes. Dan says, I have a revolver by my bed, too. Well, I actually don't have a revolver. I've got a semi-automatic pistol. But fair enough. I get the point. He says, I just use a combination trigger lock. When no one's around, I leave the lock off. The combination to me is easier to deal with than finding a key. If I were you, I'd leave the gun unlocked at night, lock it up during the day when Lillian is crawling around. P.S. It's kind of funny to think of a baby as Lillian. It's more of an adult name to me. It's sort of like thinking that there once were babies named Lysander and Grover.
I think of Grover as the guy on as a Muppet.
The Muppet, yeah, with the long banana nose.
Yeah, the Muppet who wants to drown government in a bathtub.
Lillian's the long form. I think we're going to call her Lily, and the middle name is June, so she's going to be Lily June, just like I was Nima James when I was a baby. So
Lily June. Lily June.
Lily June.
You could call her Lily June for short.
Yeah.
That's her last name.
June, as her middle name, is kind of double entendre, because in Farsi, June is like saying sweetheart. It's a word that means, oh, hey, sweetheart. June. Baby June.
Oh, that's sweet. So, and you are... Persian by derivation, but American and Texan by birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly, you're a Texan.
Exactly.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm a big fan of the concept of trigger locks, and I don't know if I'm a big fan of the concept of combinations.
I'm not a big fan of the idea of trigger locks as something that's mandatory. I've actually got a bunch of them because they give you one every time you buy a gun. But
yeah, they're just in my box. They're in my junk drawer, basically. But
that's
all my trigger
locks. Like a 2-digit cost solution. And we'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends soon.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to Lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends! Yeah, you got it right. It's the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima Badati. Welcome back for our two
Freedom
and yeah, so I guess you already know what it is. We'll get right into the meat of it, or the caffeine of it. Starbucks, they're requesting no more guns. Apparently their neutrality on it didn't work for them. Originally, for the past few years, there's been a bit of a controversy because people were open carrying in places where it's legal to do that. And Starbucks' statements were, well, we defer to whatever the local laws are. So if you live in Arizona, it's not a big deal. If you live in any place where open carry is okay, then it's okay to open carry into the Starbucks to get your coffee. And apparently people were upset about that. People on the Democratic leftish side of the spectrum thought that Starbucks should ban guns. In fact, they had boycotts really badly named. They were like espresso shots, not gunshots, like stuff that was non sequitur and didn't make sense. And apparently, I guess it worked, because now Starbucks is requesting that people don't bring guns. They say they won't kick people out if they do. They are just encouraging or discouraging gun owners from coming into the shops with their guns intact.
Well, I am looking up on my corkboard here, and I have a sticker that I purchased on Amazon that is definitely not authorized that says guns and coffee, and it's green and black and white. It has the Starbucks logo, and it's got the Starbucks lady with the crown holding up two pistols. I just like it because I love guns and I love coffee. I have total respect for Starbucks doing this, and I will never open carry in a Starbucks again, because we on the Fiends are great advocates of private property, and we believe that people who have private property and businesses should be able to do and say and make whatever rules they want there, and people can go elsewhere. I will still go to Starbucks, and I have open carried in a Starbucks. I didn't do it to make a point or be contrarian or make a stand or anything like that. I did it because when I moved to Wyoming with my wife from California 4 years ago, largely for gun freedom and lower taxes, I wanted to be able to carry a gun because I couldn't do that in Los Angeles County, and I didn't want to live anywhere else in California. So we moved here, and you have to live here 6 months before you can get a permit. Now, that's changed since we moved here. You can now conceal carry here without a permit legally if you are not a prohibited person from owning a gun. And that's crime did not go up. Nothing changed when that happened other than there was a little more freedom. But so we had to live here 6 months before we could legally get concealed carry permits, which we did. But for that first 6 months, we open carried because you could open carry legally without having lived here 6 months. So one time I open carried in the Starbucks up by the mall here, and it didn't cause a fluff. It didn't cause a scandal. A guy asked me what kind of gun it was and talked about his gun that was similar. Mm-hmm. But I totally respect Starbucks' right to do this. I have no problem with it. How about you, Nima?
I respect their right. I didn't think that was in question. What upsets me is that Starbucks is the kind of company that satisfies their customers. That's why they do so well. It upsets me that they felt that this was the way to go, because that points to the fact that they feel they can gain more customers or prevent themselves from losing customers that they were losing by making a move like this, which means that gun culture is either not as strong as we had thought it was or not as ascendant as we thought it was.
Well, also, open carry is a hot button issue, and I would venture to say that probably most people that are gun people don't. I can say for a fact, most people who are gun people do not open carry, because otherwise you'd see open carry all the time. And in Wyoming, right. I've seen in 4 years, I've seen one person open carrying who wasn't someone I knew, or two people maybe. And so it's not that widespread. And I actually, when I was open carrying when we first moved here, I had a neighbor who's a total gun guy who carries concealed come up to me and suggest respectfully that I don't open carry because it would scare the women and children, as he put it.
Yeah, but that's sad. It's sad that a free person carrying a weapon does scare women and children, and I would say that he probably does. I think that that's a sad fact, and I wish we could get to the kind of culture or the kind of society where it's no big deal. There's a line in a Willie Nelson song, I think it's called Poncho and Lefty, where he's talking about Poncho, or maybe it's Lefty, I don't remember which character, but he says he wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to see. And I feel like it is kind of an honest thing to let people know. But some people take the other side of the spectrum and say, well, carry all the time and conceal it all the time because then you're an unknown factor. Your enemy or potential enemy knows less about you. I don't know where I fall on that argument, though.
Well, a theory that I've heard of gun people who don't like open carry, what they say is, you know, in the bank robbery, if the bank robber comes in and he's willing to shoot people, he's going to shoot the guy open carrying first. He's going to shoot him in the back of the head. And, you know, it's better to conceal carry logistically and tactically. I kind of agree. I feel that way. I don't feel people should be banned from open carrying in public. I'm all in favor of that, and I think it's a good thing. I just don't personally do it. The thing I noticed is when you're open carrying, you have to have a lot more situational awareness, you know, because people could grab your gun grabbers, you know, the other kind, the kind that want to shoot you with your gun and not go through the government to grab your guns and have them shoot you. You know, a criminal, a kid, a drunk person, someone who doesn't understand guns, or they could touch it. Little kids might reach up and poke it. You know, I just think tactically it's smarter to conceal carry, and that's what I do.
Yeah, then that's fair. I'll buy that. The thing about Starbucks, I think, though, is that why did they need one corporate company policy for this? I thought their policy of neutrality was fine and was working well. I mean, I can't say that from their business standpoint because I'm not at their board meetings. But it seems like if you're in a place that's very anti-gun, like LA, then the problem already solves itself because you're going to defer to the local laws. If you're in a place that's really gun-friendly, like Casper, Wyoming, same thing. thing. It's a more gun-friendly place, and so the Starbucks there will be more gun-friendly.
I think what really brought this to the forefront was a loophole, and we say that loopholes aren't a bad thing. They are the portals through which freedom flows, but there was a loophole in the California law that basically it was legal to open carry an unloaded gun, and you could open carry a loaded mag on the other hip. You know, so let's say if someone comes up to you and attacks you and they're pretty slow about doing it, you could assemble your working firearm and defend yourself. But it was just kind of a shocker to people in LA and Orange County to see 10 people come into a Starbucks with guns on their hips who weren't cops.
Mm.
I've had people ask me if I was a cop while I was open carrying. You and I had that happen down at the at the what do we call it? The Spice gas station. The gas station that used to sell Spice before they outlawed it.
Well, once open carrying in Casper, I remember a guy, I guess you would say he was mentally handicapped, asked me if I was a cop because he saw my gun. And I said, no. And he goes, are you a bad guy? And I just sort of chuckled because, you know, a lot of people who aren't mentally handicapped still hold that false dichotomy in their head. And I thought, yeah, that's the root of it, is that false dichotomy.
Yeah. And we're not making fun of mentally handicapped people, but it is kind of a good un-PC joke to point out that that it's kind of a mentally handicapped attitude to think that you got to either be a cop or a bad guy if you have a gun.
Right. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So Reagan actually outlawed open carry of loaded weapons in California. And this is another thing we go back to of like the Tea Party had some good ideas, but they abandoned them as soon as they were elected. And they have this hagiography, this worshiping of the saints for Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. He raised taxes and added gun laws. Let's read a little bit about this on AgainstCronyCapitalism.com. There's an article about Reagan and gun control. It has an awesome image that is the Sacramento Bee from 67, maybe?
Yeah,
and it's got like it says capital is invaded, state police. Here's a 60s headline for you. Capital is invaded, state police halt armed Negro band. And I was thinking, like, Negro band, is that a jazz combo that was carrying guns? No, it was the Black Panthers.
Yes, armed Negro band was the original NWA.
Yeah, and it's got a picture of these Black Panthers holding, it's a grainy picture. I'm going to guess M1 carbines with banana clips or banana mags on the state capitol in Sacramento. And Reagan passed laws outlawing open carry of loaded weapons as a result.
So that you're saying that was a direct result, like he helped that law to be passed as a response to the Black Panthers open carrying.
Yeah, he also after being president was in favor of the assault weapon ban that Clinton passed, and he did some other stuff in between that was anti-gun. He wasn't a gun-friendly guy. He talked the talk, but he didn't walk the walk. And the reason these armed Negroes, as the Sacramento Bee called it, you know, the Black Panthers, I mean, they've kind of turned into this thing that is really weird and bad and isn't what they were. They were a self-defense organization that started because California cops were kicking in the doors of peaceful black people, you know, who some of them were political dissidents and some of them weren't. And just murdering them. And so the black, you know, the Black Panthers said, we're going to protect our neighborhoods. And they did good things. They had soup kitchens. They, you know, they had a good, like many things, like unions. They started as a good thing and then turned into a bad thing.
Well, it was a response to the fact that the LAPD police chief of the 50s and 60s was recruiting police officers from the South. He was recruiting
KKK
racist
members.
Police officers from the South in order to keep that racial division strong and make sure to protect the white community at the expense of their supposed protection of the black community.
Yeah. Yeah. That's square, man. That guy was square.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally square. And another great example of why it's never going to work out if you have a monopoly system of police protection. And that's what the Black Panthers were trying to do, right? They were setting up a competing organization to defend their communities because they saw a gap in protection services of the Black communities in L.A.
I wonder if the FBI and the CIA infiltration of the Black Panthers is what turned them from a good self-defense neighborhood watch group into what they are today.
It's possible. We'll talk more about it when we get back from the market.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it is Freedom Fiends, and we are back. And we're glad to be back. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other side of the microphone from me, although there's a few thousand miles between us as well. So we were talking about Ronald Reagan, the Black Panthers, and gun control. And
The Black Panthers have turned into this like kill whitey thing, but that wasn't the initial thing. The initial thing was self-defense against cops that were kicking in the doors of black people and shooting them and murdering them and saying,
have they really turned into something like that?
I've seen some videos. I've seen some videos that went viral that were played on Fox News that were like one guy who was claiming to be a Black Panther saying that the Constitution is racist and should be abolished, and which then I saw another one that was two guys allegedly, you know, in paramilitary gear saying they were Black Panthers, allegedly walking up to white people at a voting booth with a club in their hand, hitting it in their hand, saying, "You better vote for Obama." Who knows? I mean, those people could have been sent by, you know, some Republican group to stir up the pot. Who knows if that's but I think that there was an interview with someone from the New Black Panthers, which is a different organization than the Black Panthers, that may have backed that up, but it's not even the same group. The lineage is not direct. Yeah. There's a jump.
Well, okay. So I think we can make that distinction, though. I don't know if I'd want to say that the Black Panthers are some kind of kill whitey group, because I don't know if we can back that up.
Okay.
I don't know enough about it, so I haven't really read much of them or about them. But
yes. We're all about the truth and backing up our claims here on the Freedom Fiend. So what you got, Nima?
Anthony Gregory takes a good take on it. Pretty much same headline. The Panthers were right and Reagan was wrong on gun control. And he lays out some examples. He says that Ronald Reagan favored strict gun laws throughout his political career. As president, he used executive orders. See that? Executive orders. Yeah. Just like what you complain about Barack Obama doing. He used them to ban the importation of certain shotguns and later threw his weight behind the Brady Bill and the 1994 assault weapon. weapons ban. Now, obviously, he wasn't in power then, but he still had political prestige and still co-signed it, at least metaphorically. As governor of California, Reagan signed the Mulford Act into law in 67. Is that what we were talking about earlier,
yeah.
The open carry law? Yeah. And that was also written by a Republican. Not only was it signed by the Republican governor, Ronald Reagan, but it was written by Republican Assemblyman Don Mulford. And it was the most sweeping state edict in the country. And it was along with the rest of his heavy-handed entire law and order agenda, and it inspired an avalanche of new gun laws nationwide. So,
okay, so we got a correction here. By 1980, the Black Panther Party comprised of only 27 members, and the Southern Poverty Law Center includes the new Black Panther Party, a completely different organization, it's not the same group, in its list of hate groups. The Huey Newton Foundation, former chairman and co-founder Bobby Seale, and members of the original Black Panther Party have insisted that this new Black Panther Party is illegitimate and have strongly objected that there is no new Black Panther Party.
Okay.
So it's
so
just,
it's like the difference between the Tea Party when Ron Paul sort of founded it, or people who were in the Tea Party originally were Ron Paulites, and now when you think of the Tea Party, you think of the people ignoring Grover Norquist's tax.
No, I think a more apt delineation would be it's like the people who threw the tea into the Boston Harbor in the 1700s compared to the people who signed Grover Norquist's pledge and then ignore it.
Yeah. Okay, so the bigger distinction there. Yeah, okay, you're right. So your comments were about the new Black Panther Party, not the Black Panther Party.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good correction. I appreciate it, Michael. But yeah, so basically there's a lot here, and I do trust Anthony Gregory for the most part. He's a really good libertarian writer. And, you know, he points out that a lot of the avalanche, the flood of state anti-gun laws were racist legislation.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Gun laws, gun control is racist, and it was promoted by somebody that people think of as a conservative Republican, almost a libertarian Republican OG. So I think that helps to discredit the hagiography of Ronald Reagan. And hopefully for people on the Democratic left would hope to discredit the concept of gun control laws, since a lot of the current trajectory of them was based on these racist laws. And it goes back even before that. In the Guns and Weed movie, we talk about how even before then, some of the earliest gun laws, before this flood of them, was to keep freed slaves from owning guns.
Yeah, and we'll have more when we come back on the Freedom Fiends.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of FreedomFiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yep, it's the Freedom Fiends. Thank you once again for joining us. I am Nima Vidotti here in Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the intertubes.
Yeah,
He's doing his best Howard Dean impression over there on that other side.
No relation.
No relation.
Michael Dean, no relation. Yeah. Yeah, I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America.
Yes.
And I'm vaping.
Huffington Post.
I'm vaping on an e-cig.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
I was going to get to a segue, too. I was going to say Huffington Post wants the government to catch the vapors.
Yeah.
Now, that's a double entendre.
Because, I can't believe I have the vapors.
Yes. Of course, what we mean is there's people lobbying for the FDA to put the boot down and kick it root down, as Beastie Boys used to say. But put the boot down on e-cigarettes. And HuffPo put out this article a while back that says 9 terribly disturbing things about electronic cigarettes.
And being libertarians, we read this list and found 1 possibly disturbing things and 8 selling points of electronic right. cigarettes from this list. And I do want to say that if the Huffington Post disgusts you, go check out the Fluffington Post, which is unrelated. It's fluffingtonpost.com, and it's just pictures of cute kitty cats and puppy dogs and bunny rabbits.
Right.
It's the Fluffington Post.
So that's your good unicorn chaser there. If you're reading too much HuffPo, switch to FluffPo. Just like if you're smoking too much tobacco, switch to e-cigs for a little bit as a break, huh?
Yeah.
Go easy on your lungs, yeah. Now, Michael, you used to smoke like 2 packs a day, is that right?
Yeah, and my wife and I vape now and have done so for about 4 months, and we're a lot healthier and feel a lot better, and we're spending less money. Although the government wants to change that and somehow make us spend more money and not have as many flavors and not have it be as good and have it be harder to get and have us not be able to get it through the internet.
Yeah, yeah. They want to put all these restrictions in place, but it seems to me like the industry's plugging along. It's constantly making things better, and through trial and error and market profit motive regulation, i.e. if something doesn't work or if people want something, the market changes to suit those needs or the new information.
Or the company goes out of business. You know,
or the company goes out of business.
We get our vapes from a place that I've tried to get them to buy ads with us, but they're actually – They said that they're so busy they can't keep up with all their orders, so ads would only make things worse. And I'm not even going to say the name of this company, even though they have the best stuff in the world, because if I do, a bunch more people will order from them, and it'll take me even longer for me to get my vapes.
Yes.
Get my vape
in your own
on.
Self-interest, you're not going to promote them.
Yeah.
But yeah, and in my day job, I go around to places that are new businesses starting up. Often I do that. And there are so many new vape shops and e-cig shops opening up in the Central Texas Austin area that I go to one probably once a week, it seems like. At least once a month, I see a new one opening up. And one of them I went into recently, the guy was saying, well, we're a little bit different. We're going to have all our stuff made in a lab to comply with new FDA regulations. We haven't been able to find out anything to corroborate that other than that there's supposedly going to be new recommendations in October.
I think that guy has some, like, you know, a brother-in-law in there or something, if that's true at all, because we could not find anything. And we asked our friend who has her finger on the throat pulse of the vape world, and she didn't know anything. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. It's either that or it's part of his business model.
To lie.
He tried to tell me, because at first when he said that, I was like, oh, man. And usually when people talk about new regulations, I'm like, oh, man, that's ridiculous. And then we both go off, you know, because people are pretty upset with the overregulation. But he was like, no, it'll be for your own good. He literally said those words to me.
Well,
it'll be for your own good.
Which is weird, because generally everyone is a libertarian on at least one thing. And they have to realize that they have to be libertarian on everything, including things they don't like, to really be in favor of any kind of liberty. But everyone's libertarian on something. Everyone, I mean, Hank Hill on King of the Hill doesn't like it when the city tells him what he can do with his lawn, because he cares a lot about his lawn and he wants to do what he wants.
But here's the other thing is that people, they follow their self-interest, especially their economic self-interest. And his whole business concept was based on the thought or the prediction that there will be new regulations and he's going to be complying with those before everybody else. So he, of course, is going to be saying that those are good ideas and trying to pitch the fact that it's for your own good and it's going to be better for everybody if that's how he's going to make his money, is by filling the niche by complying with the new regulations before everybody else does.
Yeah. So let's go through this list. Number one. What is number one? It's that they claim it contains toxic materials. That's the only one we were worried about, but they're wrong.
Well, I think there needs to be more study, but I don't think it needs to be or necessarily needs to be government studies or things like that. Or the thing they point to is a 2009 FDA analysis. Just think about how much e-cigarettes have changed since 2009, Michael.
Yes,
Nima. You said the difference between 2010 and 2011 was like going from dial-up to DSL.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's constantly progressing. And I think if the market was left unfettered, eventually you'd get to a point where it was, instead of PG or VG, it was nothing but sterile water and some kind of nicotine inside of that. You know, I feel like if you let it, it will end up being less and less and less toxic, if it is toxic now.
Yeah, and the government always lies. And I'm queuing up an ad here that I'm going to play that is an anti-drug ad from when I was a little kid that's filled with lies. And I remember this ad from TV when I was a kid. It was called "Why Do You Think They Call It Dope?" Here we go.
Why do they call it dope? It's a guy going into a schoolyard selling drugs to school children.
Plain glue. Oh, one whiff, man.
Isn't it true that sniffing glue can damage your liver and kidneys?
The kid looks like me.
Kid. Look here.
And that's true, what he said.
Bennies, Dexies, meth.
They say amphetamines can cause something like schizophrene.
Schizophrenia. In most cases, it does not last. Cool it, kid. Now for the barbs. Neato, nice, easy downers.
Withdrawal from barbiturates can cause convulsions.
Will you convulse yourself out of here? Grass. Anything wrong with pot?
They're not sure yet. They just started studying about it.
Worry wart. Dig, everybody. LSD.
Bad trips and a chance of chromosome damage.
Second,
how do you know you got
chromosomes?
Everything you got there can hurt you, can't it?
Sure, kid. Why do you think they call it dope?
The kids all run away. Now, there's a lot of truth in this, but there are two lies. The chromosome damage thing with LSD was made up by the government. It's a lie. It wasn't true, and it was everyone believed it back then. And then the thing about, what's wrong with pot, kid? You got anything about that? And he said, they've just started studying it. And it's like, I mean, decades of...
But it was already on Schedule 1, though, wasn't that point?
Yeah, and they put it on Schedule 1 to keep people from studying it and kept people from being able to study it. And I would say that decades and decades of people using it illegally and not going insane and not having chromosome damage and not having their lives fall apart except for when the police find them is his research, you know, but it's not done in a clinical lab, so...
Yeah, but what did they do? They stopped studying it to where just now Sanjay Gupta is saying, well, I guess we can study it now. You know?
I know. And that's what they want to do with e-cigs, with vapes, you know, is they want to outlaw it to the point where the market can't study it. And their main complaint in this thing, the first one, the only one that has any weight, is wrong. Basically, they say it contains harmful chemicals and it's diethylene glycol or PG, propylene glycol, which is FDA approved in food. So, you know, your government says you can eat it. Now, people say that, well, we don't know what would happen with vaping it. But the thing is, it's used also in fog machines. So anytime you go to a concert, you're breathing it. Anytime, you know, when you go to Obama's third inauguration in a few years, and Jay-Z's behind him on the stage going, what up, yo? We win again. You know, they'll have fog machines and light show. I mean, they'll be using it. So let's move on to the rest of them and why we think these are selling points.
Before we do, I have one last thing on the dangerous toxic chemicals is why would you trust the FDA or the government to come up with the right combination of chemicals to be as little as harmful? The government actually made cigarettes more harmful to have more chemicals with laws about fire safe cigarettes. They put glue in the tobacco so that there'd be less house fires.
Hey, and they put glycerin in them for that same purpose, and then they put saltpeter in them to keep them burning. So they put chemicals in them to keep them burning and keep them from burning. That's kind of weird. That's very weird to me.
Yeah,
that's like both sides of government in one thing. And, you know, do you trust the FDA? I mean, half the ads I see on TV are for class action suits of, did you take this FDA-approved drug between 2006 and 2007? If so, you may get a bunch of money because you've been harmed by this FDA-approved drug.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that the best way to handle something like this is if people really want have a desire to know what's in their vape juice, there should be a company or companies, I should say, out there that'll approve them, or I don't want to use the word license, but a seal of approval. Like you have UL Labs, you want to look for that stamp on your surge protectors or various other electronic gear. That's not governmental at all. It's or the Better Business Bureau is another good example, or Consumer Reports. You know, there's many agencies out there whose credibility is on the line, so they're not going to be bought off like the FDA can be.
Yeah. So let's read the rest of the list. Number two in the 9 disturbingly terrible things about electronic cigarettes: kids and teens can buy them. And I'd say, like, well, either their parents should be keeping an eye on them, or it's better for them than cigarettes.
There you go. Number three, while cigarette companies say they don't market to kids, e-cigarettes come in flavors like cherry, strawberry, vanilla, and cookies and cream milkshake. Oh, no.
Yeah, which is why we like them as adults. And the government would like to outlaw it to the point where all you can have is flavorless goo that tastes like turpentine and has one quarter the nicotine of the stuff we're doing. And
I never got that concept because the Obama administration pushed to ban flavored cigarettes, like actual tobacco too, and it just seems supremely unfair that grown people who spend their hard-earned money on things would have to be denied flavors that they like. Is it true that only people under 18 like sweet flavors? That just seems ridiculous on its face to me.
Yeah, and think about all those goth kids that voted for Obama and now they can't get their Kratex, their clove cigarettes. And that actually, like, put families out of business in Indonesia. You know, there's a bunch of families who, like, what they do is they flavor and make that tobacco and roll it by hand in tobacco leaves and sell it to companies that sell it to America. And those, you know, Obama made those kids starve. Those kids are without a job in Indonesia now. So Obama's crushing innovation around the world. And we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
Yep. When he's not bombing kids, he's starving them.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah, welcome back for the final bit of our Freedom Fiends live show today. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow, same fiend time, same fiend channels. How are you doing, Mr. Dean?
I'm good, and we were going to barrel through these nine terribly disturbing things about electronic cigarettes on Huffington Post that we think are mostly selling points. Number three.
They're terribly disturbing to a busybody.
Yeah, did we do number three, or did we just chat about it? While cigarette companies say they don't market to kids, e-cigarettes come in flavors like cherry, straw. So in other words, this stuff tastes good. That's horrible. Number four, laws regulating cigarette ads don't yet apply to e-cigarettes. Good. That's a dumb law. Five, e-cigarette companies are spending tons of money on advertising. In other words, the market is alive and well despite Obama and Bush's best efforts. Six, e-cigarettes can be used many places where smoking is banned. That is a good thing. Seven, people think e-cigarettes can help them quit smoking. They helped me quit smoking, and I feel healthier for it. Eight, e-cigarettes aren't taxed like traditional tobacco products. Good! The government's not stealing as much money at gunpoint over them. And nine, despite unknown health consequences, e-cigarettes are poised to make inroads with a new generation of young people. Like, basically, oh no, there's innovation.
Yeah, I mean, what's the alternative? I don't understand what these HuffPo people want to have happen. They want them to be banned and illegal so there's a black market in them, or they want people who are already vaping to go back to regular cigarettes so they're burning leaves and inhaling the smoke?
No, they want everyone to just obey all the Obamacare provisions and not do anything that's bad for you, because like Hitler, who had the original anti-smoking campaigns, the government owns your body to these people, and they want it to be that way. You know,
they do. They really do. All right. Well, to wrap it up here, I'll try to go through the tweak and review a little bit quicker than I normally would. So first, autarky versus anarchism. So we had a bit of a discussion about these three things, and I think what we took from it is the concept is self-organization, self-government, rather than top-down impositions of the libido dominandi on people. And yet we still don't have a perfect word for that, so that's still unresolved. Grover Norquist famously said, quote, "I don't want to abolish the government. I just want to make it small enough to drown it in the bathtub." And now, it's kind of a funny statement. In fact, it is a very funny statement. And a lot of Grover Norquist's sayings end up filtering in to the actual Republican Party, but it ends up being nothing but talk, as you've seen. The majority, or a lot of the people who signed his anti-tax pledge, ended up saying, well, I care about my country more than I care about Grover Norquist, disregarding the fact and making a giant logical leap that taxes help the country, which they don't. And at least there should be a discussion about that rather than it being taken as a foregone conclusion in their premise. Now, next, Ronald Reagan, a racist gun grabber. Maybe he doesn't deserve all the hagiographic hero worship that he gets from the right, because he was no friend to guns. He actively pushed for the Brady Bill. He banned open carry when he was governor of California, and he banned through executive order the importation of certain shotguns. So he was a gun grabber, and a lot of these gun grabby things early when he was in state government were a direct result of racism, So, and finally, I guess we did talk about this a little bit earlier, but let's let the market take care of everything, but everything includes e-cigarettes as well. If you let people decide and you let sellers of e-cigarettes decide, you will reach a better situation. In fact, e-cigarettes first came about because people had a demand for a nicotine delivery solution that didn't involve lighters and smoke and dried leaves.
Yeah, and actually the tobacco companies came out with something like that in the 80s, and it tasted so bad nobody bought it. And the free market got a hold of it. The non-government subsidized free market made it perfect. And now the tobacco companies want to take it back and tax it. They're pushing for a lot of these taxes, actually. Now that the technology is perfected, they want to own it.
Right, right. Look who's allied on this. The people who wrote that HuffPo article are allied with Big Tobacco. They would claim that they're not, but indeed they are. And we'll be back with plenty more Feeny goodness tomorrow, so join us then.
They're useful idiots for Big Tobacco.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeenS.com.